All right, if you have your Bibles with you this evening, we'd ask that you turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading in verse 34. Numbers chapter 16, beginning in verse 31, Numbers chapter 16, beginning in verse 31. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. And they all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, and they said, lest the earth swallows us up also." I'd like to preach this evening, the Lord being my helper, on the thought, look where you're standing. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity to preach your word. Lord, we know of a certainty there's nothing in us, Lord, no ability, nothing with wisdom, but Lord, we know you're able. You can hold us up and that you can speak through us. And we pray tonight that that you'd allow us to get our flesh out of the way just for a time, Lord, and that you would speak through us according to your mercy and your grace. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. For in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Now, I want you to go back to our text verses, and we want to notice just a couple of things from some of them. And beginning back in 31, it says, "And it came to pass as he made an end of speaking." Now, the he being the prophet Moses, the Lord used to deliver the nation of Israel from their bondage, he had made an end of his speaking. Have you ever thought one day there may be a come a day when there'll be no preaching left? Right. If you're lost and without Christ, you will come down to this building, no doubt, one day, and there'll be little or no one left. And certainly, by his own good testimony, Brother Jim will not be here again to present the word to you. He will not be able again to rehearse the matter that we've all became known and sweet and dear to our hearts. You'll not see that again. And Moses was finishing up a very rebuking event in the travels of the nation of Israel, but it did come to an end. You know, one day it will come to an end here by God's divine grace and by His own power. One day He's going to say, "It's enough, come up here," and it'll all be done with, it'll all be over. And those that if you are lost, you listen closely, you'll wonder where we went. You'll wonder what happened. And so, the he being here, Moses, at the end of his sermon, and it says that the ground clave asunder that was under them. Now, two things there. The first of all, you have to pick up the them that they're speaking of. If you go back with me to the first of this chapter, Numbers chapter 16 in the very first verse, Numbers 16 in the very first verse, the Bible says, "Now Korah and the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben, took men." Now I want you to see first of all that Korah, that would lead this rebellion, was a son of Levi. He came out of the Levitical priesthood. He came out of men that knew better. He came out of the very line that would be their leaders, and he was used completely of the devil. Now, was these men lost? I don't know. You know what? It's very humbling to think about. I used to think that they fell alive into hell. I'm not sure about that now. The longer I study this passage, I'm just not certain. They may have. But you know, the humbling thing to me is Korah may have been one of God's men that got out of the will of God, set his mind against the man of God, and this was the result. And so Korah led this rebellion. Verse 2, "And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes. Now, underline that in your Bible if you do so, because that wasn't the whole number. That was just the princes. That was just their leaders. That was just the top men. No, only the Lord God of heaven knows how many went down. And they rose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Again, they were highly esteemed men. Verse 3, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy." Now I want you to notice two things. First of all, they begin to rebuke the man of God. And I'll tell you this, when a church begins to do that, that's a church that's in trouble. I fully believe that the men that God put over His churches are sufficient to take care of them. And I don't mean monetarily. They're sufficient. Those men are sufficient to break this word of life to them, and what they say will be used of God. We don't live like that anymore. By and large, we are just those individuals that stand up and say, "Hey, you took too much on yourself. You're not doing a sufficient job." Listen, when your mindset comes like that against your pastor, you better look out. Trouble's on its way. And so we see that they did this, and then I want you to see that they considered themselves holy. Very self-righteous people. Were they in the bloodline? Absolutely. Were they behaving as God's people? Absolutely not. They were not following the God of the Bible. Now, it's easy to get down on Korah and that bunch, but I've been there with them. I've had time in my life I was just as much of a Korah as I was a Moses. You see what I'm saying? I've had times in my life that I was completely out of the will of God. And when you get that way, you certainly are open to anything that comes. And the devil would dearly love to use you to rebel against God's man. He would like to use you, especially if you have a testimony. And so we see that Korah says, "Hey, we're all holy." Now let me say this. When we get down to the point that we think we're all holy, you better look out. Amen. See, the thing of the truth is this. There are some there in sheep's clothing. There are wolves in sheep's clothing, and the devil dearly loves to plant them in the church, and they will look real, real good for a long, long time. But dear friend, I've lived it and I've seen it. You better watch them out. You know what? When someone comes and it's a great blessing to me, seemingly the Lord saves somebody. He, out of His divine grace, adds them to the church. But you know, and I don't mean to be hard-hearted, but what I've seen, you give them about 4 or 5 years. I'm encouraged and I'm rejoicing, but you know what? As a good shepherd, I'm always watching too. Amen. Because see, I've seen it go the other way. You know, "Oh, Brother Lafferty, we love your preaching. Oh, Brother Larry, it's such a blessing to me." And then they hit the door when they get scalded.
Right.
Tired of hearing about this and tired of hearing about that.
Yeah.
You give them some time.
Right.
And so we see that Korah was considered part of the congregation. And then it says, "Wherefore, then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." In other words, how are you doing it all? Verse 4. "And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show us who are His." Now I want you to notice two things. That Moses did not take the judgment onto himself. He says, "God will decide this thing."
Amen.
You know, look about the building tonight. And I'm not being critical, but when these fellowships started, almost 10 years ago, you couldn't get people in the building. It was so busy. It was so full. Even as large as this auditorium is, I've seen them set folding chairs out to accommodate them. Look what we have today. Listen, this word is no longer popular. It's not just New Testament. We're a very tiny group, but you know what I've seen among the Lord's churches? More and more, they're all a tiny group. You know why? This word is offensive to the flesh. It scalds. And so we see this rebellion came from a group that didn't think that that Moses could do it. Now back to where we were, we got the who then that fell. And it says, the ground clave asunder under them. You know, we have confidence in things that maybe we shouldn't have. This old building here, I understand, was moved here from a different location. And I've looked under, and when some of the repair work, and this is a very strong building, probably, I'm guessing, out of oak timbers. And you know, I feel like I could jump up and down, maybe not here because I know this was added. But on this part of the floor, I could jump up and down and have confidence in that it was going to bear me up. But you know what the truth is? I just don't know. I think I do. And you think when you make that first step out of the bed in the morning that that floor in your house is going to hold you? When you come off the porch step and get out into the yard, you think that ground is going to hold you? But listen, you just don't know. I believe we've learned confidence in things we ought not have the confidence in. And so they never dreamed that the judgment of God would be this way. Verse 32, "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods." Now the things that went down are the things that we hold so dear. I want you to see that the first thing that went down was their houses. Now, I've studied this out. I used to think that meant their whole family. I'll say this as a side, you can study it out. Their children, according to Samuel, did not go down with them. And they didn't go. This is told three separate times in three separate places, and their children didn't go. But their houses did. I don't know, some of y'all been to my home. It's a little double wide on a steep hill in Stewart County, Tennessee. That's what would have went down. We hold a great deal of pride, and back home we call it our places. We do. You know what? That's what went down. You know why? I think one reason is that's where their confidence laid. You know, we, even the believers here this evening, you better look where your confidence lays. We have a lot of confidence on things that there really is no strength in. And so their houses went down, and all the men that appertained unto Korah. Now, I believe this least band of 250 princes, probably much, much more, but those were the leaders involved. They appertained to him, and they went down with them. You know what that says to me? You better be careful who you're yoked up with.
Amen.
You know what? I'm not going to get out there too deep, but listen, when you take an oath on the Bible, you're hooked up with them.
That's right.
Whether you want to be or not, you be very cautious of that. I won't go no further, but you know what I'm talking about. That bunch was Korah's bunch. And they appertained, and so they went down. We better be very careful. The Bible says a great deal who we're yoked up with. We're to be yoked with believers. And so we see that as well. They and all that appertained unto them went down. And the last thing that went down in verse 32 was their goods. Meaning their food, their furniture. All those things went down. You know what? That's the things we hold pretty precious. Is it not? They were consumed by the fury of Almighty God. Why? Because of rebellion. You know what the Bible says concerning rebellion? Rebellion is as if the sin of witchcraft.
Amen.
Amen. Our churches are full of it today. And so we see then that the judgment of God fell. Verse 33, "They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them." And again, I don't know if this pit is hell or not. I can't get that in my mind completely. Maybe you brethren can help me. But I do know the earth opened her mouth. I do know that it swallowed them up, and that's where they were. You know what? That is not out of the realm of possibility today.
Amen.
God still judges sin the way that He always has judged sin. "And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation." Now, verse 33 is the reason why they perished from among the congregation. You know why? They were being a hardship to the congregation. They were being a stink.
They were being a cancer. They were being problematic, and God got the problem out of the way. You know what? I've seen in churches when God begins to do that thing, God will begin to use that church. He'll begin to manifest Himself in unusual ways. And so it says that He did that, and then all Israel were round about them, fled at the cry for them, for they said also, lest the earth swallows us up also. Two things. First of all, they heard their cries. You lost people, you listen to me. Their cries were distinct. They heard the pain. They heard the judgment. They saw them. And I want you to see they ran in fear. You know what? We live in a day and age where people do not fear God. They don't fear God. They don't run. They wouldn't have sense enough to run from a situation like this. But you know what the Bible says concerning fear? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know why we have such stupid Christians today? Is that they do not fear God. I'm not saying, I don't know about their lost condition, but if they are Christians, they're stupid Christians because this little health and wealth theology has crept in. And they're stupid. And because of that, they go on like this. So where are you standing? Where do your confidences lie? What's going to be tomorrow? What's going to transpire when you wake? Well, where is your confidence lie? Is it in that retirement? You know what? Retirement's fine, but if the money means nothing, your retirement means less. You see what I'm saying? We live in a very economically unsound day. It is not like it used to be. So where does your confidence lie? That would be the first one I would mark off is that. If the ground can't hold us up or it can collapse at the will of God, what are we depending on? You know why? You know why God's people can't get concerned about the things of God? It's because we've got our mind elsewhere. That's where our confidence at. At Little League and all the stupidness that goes with that. We got our kids down there in front of the stupid TV. That thing rules our home. You go into a good Christian's house and their whole room is surrounded by that thing. You know why? It's because their lives are surrounded by it too. That's why. And so we see then, where does your confidences lie? If you can't depend on the ground, what can you depend on? Look with me in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We're going to begin reading in verse 32. 2 Samuel 22, beginning in verse 32. David writes, "For who is God save the Lord?" Question, who is this man God? Who is this being God? And he says, it's nothing save the Lord. Now, I believe there's always been God the Father, God the Son, and God the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe that either one of them created. His being did not begin in Bethlehem. They always have been. And here we see that David alludes to that. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? You want something stable, you depend on God.
Amen.
He's the rock. He's where we live in a day where nothing is stable. You depend on God. You place your full weight and trust in Him. "For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect." Now, a few clarifications. Number one, is He really your strength? Is He where your strength comes from? You know, the true test of that is coming. I'm completely a pre-tribulation man. But God's... You read Matthew 24. There's judgment for us too. There's judgment for us too. It's separate, but it is there. And so we see... We see... Who are you going to depend on at that time? He's going to be my strength. God is my strength and power. Now that seems repetitious, but it is not. He's my strength. He's where I get my energy. And He's my power, because not strength, but authority. He is my authority. This word that sits before me is what I want to declare everything and compare everything else to, is that, because that's authority.
Right.
He is my strength. He is my authority. And He maketh my way perfect. Now, man, we get proud for a minute on that, don't we? But you know what that really means? It means complete.
Amen.
It's not sinless perfection. It's complete.
Right.
Now, you know what? The thing of that means you're going to walk a complete path. And that path don't always lead on high ground.
Right.
That path sometimes goes into the various low of the low of the low. And you may find yourself there. But I guarantee you, God is able. And so David gives this attribute, gives this great praise to God. Verse 34, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. Now, what's hind's feet? Well, what he's saying is, you make me more stable. You know, how many feet do we have? We have two. How many does a horse that pulls a load have? Four. A big old ox, how many do they have? They have four. I'd like to depend on two instead of four. So David makes this allusion. He says, "And maketh my feet like hinds' feet." In other words, doubles my stability. And He will do that. And setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bowl of steel is broken in mine arm. You get that? He says, I am so strong in Him, I can break the metal arrows. I can break the bow. I can defend myself so much better because of God. He makes me strong. Thou hast also given me the shield of Thy salvation, and Thy gentleness have made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. Now, again, it all comes to what's under you. You know what? I'm not above slipping. I've slipped a lot in my life. And you're not either.
Right.
There's no differences in this flesh, so it becomes acutely important where your feet are at. If it's going to clave asunder, didn't it become acutely important where your feet are at? Where are you standing? Now, we're all in the building tonight, I realize that. But are you near unto God? You may be in one of the Lord's true churches. Praise God. Are you near unto that church? You know what? I know this of myself. I've had more times cold and indifferent than I've had with the nearness of God, and I don't think I'm much different than anybody else.
Right.
See, this health and wealth and continual high plane is really not what the Bible teaches. You read the Psalms and you find out where David spent the most of his time.
Right.
Now, the mountaintops are great. Praise be to God. The mountaintops are enjoyable. Thank God for that. But listen, there are distant times for God. So where are you at tonight? Where are you positioned? Where are your feet? Have you been through some trouble and you're distant? You know what? I found in my short ministry, God's people do not like to confess sin anymore. And as long as you bear that along, you're going to be at a distance. As long as you drag that along with you, you're going to be far from Him. Because you know what? He is too righteous. He is too holy to approve that mess. So you hang on to it, and I'll guarantee you all you'll get is colder and colder and colder.
Amen.
And we wonder what's wrong with our churches.
Yeah.
We wonder where the problem lies. Verse 38. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them all, and turned not again until I had consumed them. Now, who's your enemies? Your enemies you need to be well identified with. Now, this health and wealth religion where we're all going to just take one big group hug one day and go to glory is not the God of the Bible. And I'm not telling you to be mean-spirited. I'm not telling you to be ugly. But I do know this, there are enemies out there. There are enemies that would love to take you down. There are enemies that would like you to compromise your testimony. There are enemies that would like you to compromise truth. So I'd like to know who they were, wouldn't you? When I meet them on the street and I see them on the workplace, I'd like to know who they are. And you know, the sad truth is this, they may be sitting next to you. We need to know who they are and what's going on with them. And so we see we need that stability in walking. Look with me in Psalm 73. Psalm 73 in the very first verse. Psalm 73. In the very first verse, a psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, even to them, to such are as of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Have you been there? Maybe you're there tonight. He says, I'm just about down. How many people has gone up a steep bank and it muddy as it can be? The little house I grew up in was a three-room house. And I didn't say three-bedroom, I said three-room. And up the back of that, it was built on just a very narrow, probably about as wide as this building, ledge of land. And up it was a bank straight up. That's all you find in Stewart County. And at the top of the hill, just along the other side of that field, my best friend lived. And I can remember going up that hill. I knew it as well as I knew anything. I could fly up it. Now, the problem is, sometimes I took a tumble because it was wet. I knew that hill, but it was slippery. I remember one time I fell all the way back down the house, and the house was right on the edge of the hill, and I hit the house, and my mom came out because she wondered what had run into the house, and it was me. See, I let it slip. We need to be very, very cautious today. See, we're letting the little things slip, aren't we? We're living in slippery, slippery times. We see things declining every day. Verse 3, how'd he get there? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, you get out of that slippery spot, the first thing I'll tell you is this, don't compare yourself to the world. We do that now, don't we? You know what? I would to God I'd get to them to the point I don't care what the world does. Now, I've not arrived. I don't always think that. But you know, as I get a little bit older and I pray, draw a little bit nearer to Christ, I see things less of less importance. You know, I always wanted a nice house. I told you about the three-room house I grew up in. So I always wanted something better. Now I have a double wide. I always wanted a nice brick, you know, maybe two stories, nice two-car garage. And I live on a double wide on one of the steepest hillsides in Stewart County. You know what? I'm well satisfied.
Amen.
I'm well satisfied. See, I'm not jealous of the world anymore. But so often we are. So often we have an interest in what's going on in the world. And we find that because of that, Asaph got into a place of slipping. Verse 4, for there were no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence cover them as a garment. Now, I want you to see again and again, he compares their success to his worldly success. Don't ever do that. You know what the Bible says concerning God's people? We are pilgrims and strangers.
Right.
We're not too strange anymore.
Right.
There's a little church over at home that in Tennessee Ridge, when I was a boy in the 70s, You go down to Tennessee Ridge, there's a laundromat down there, and we used to wash our clothes. Again, three-room house, you don't have a utility room. And so we'd go down there to that little laundromat, and these women would come in and leave, very fine, godly women, dressed like women ought to be. You know what? You didn't have to ask where they went to church. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
But today we compare ourselves to the world, and little Sally's got to wear her tight britches because Jane down at the schoolhouse wears hers.
Right.
Amen. God help us. You know why? We begin to compare ourselves to the world. We appreciate y'all helping with Brother Down's car. I'll show it to you in a little while. It's a 2000 Saturn. It's the top of the hood is rusty. It needs to be cleaned up. I'm going to clean it up. He wants me to send him some pictures, and I said, Brother Down's, wait. But you know what? Most would do. Go get about a $45,000 loan and get them the nicest thing that comes off the showroom. The devil's just about convinced us of that. One of my nurses that works out of our Clarksville office, she just gave $215,000 for a home about the size of this meeting hall on a lot that's 100 by 150 feet. Is it a nice home? It's unreal. I mean, it's beautiful. Do I want a nearly $2,500 house payment? Absolutely not.
Amen.
You know why that doesn't appeal to me? I quit comparing myself to the world. And when we get our mind on that, what we're going to happen is we're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're not going to keep our mind where we're going. Listen, we're not home yet. We've got places to go. We've got people to see. We've got to spread the gospel. And when we get to glory, we'll have things that are not even comparable. But if you get caught up in the world, you're going to slip. You get caught up and you begin to compare what you've got to what they've got, you will slip. And the more you look at them, listen, the slipperier it gets.
Right.
And we'll fall. We'll fall in the process. We have no interest in those things. Psalms 38. If you're familiar with your Psalms, you know this is David's repentant prayer over his sin with Bathsheba. Psalms 38 in verse 15. Psalms 38 in verse 15. The Bible says, "For in Thee, O Lord, do I hope. Wilt Thou hear, O my God?" He declares his hope. He declares his hope of strength in Christ, in the Lord God. And he says, will you hear? You know what? God don't have to hear you.
Right.
You ever thought about that? If he's sovereign in everything else, is he sovereign in that? I'd think he'd have to be.
Amen.
What did he say to the workers of iniquity? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Not that I got to knowing you and I hadn't seen you in a few years and I forgot who you were. I never knew you. I never knew you. I don't even know who you are. And so David very humbly asked, will you hear me? For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. Now I want you to notice two things. First of all, David acknowledged in the sin of Bathsheba that his foot had slipped. Was he going to hell? No. Was he a disgrace to the name of God? Absolutely.
Right.
And you can be too.
That's right.
His foot slipped. The earth clave asunder and he fell. But you know, two things happened to David in that sin. Number one, he wasn't where he was supposed to be. You know what? If all our sister churches and the individuals that make up those churches was in the will of God, I believe we'd be putting out the folding chairs tonight. But you know why? They're focusing on something else. They're looking at other things. And David, walking on the rooftop of his house, looked down there and saw Bathsheba bathing herself. Now listen, don't you get down on Bathsheba. She was fulfilling a Jewish custom. She was doing exactly what she was supposed to be doing. David needed to be down at war.
Right.
He sent old Joab and said, you do my job. Listen, I want to do my job.
Amen.
I'm not going to send Brother Jim to do my job. I want to do it. But if it wasn't from the help of God, we'd very quickly get into the same thing. So we see that David confesses that. He says, my foot is slipped. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. You see that? I'm ready to halt. What does that mean? I'm ready to stop.
Amen.
Have you been there? Well, I'd be lying to you if I say I had. I've been to the point, why even go back? You want some discouraging times, and that's why I say I praise God for 11 members, plus other people coming.
Amen.
A lot of mission days. It was me, and at that time we had 3 children. Me, my wife, and the 3 of us. You see? I'm like, God, why do you want me to go back there? This is ridiculous. He'd bless me with another message that week, and I'd go back. Sometimes a visitor would come in. Sometimes it'd be 2 or 3 other little children from somewhere down the street. But God worked a great and mighty work, and He was preparing for things I didn't even dream of.
Amen.
But I wanted to halt. I wanted to quit. And you can. I'm not likened to other flesh. I can't help but think you've been there too, and maybe even there right now. Ready to quit, ready to be done with it, ready to throw in the towel, and David certainly was. For I am ready to halt, my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. You want the remedy for that? It's right there. Declare your iniquity.
Amen.
Lord, I'm cold and indifferent because I've been preferring this over that which is right. I've been preferring watching football instead of spending my time in this book. I've been preferring to sit around and watch TV than keeping my mind on the things of God. I'm sorry for that. See, the problem is, this is the catcher. We don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
Oh, I'd be embarrassed. There's other churches represented. Would to God we'd put that aside for a few minutes.
Amen.
Oh, we get so cold and indifferent. And then we wonder why there's no power. We wonder why there's no power in the preaching. Well, it's the preacher's fault. You knew that, didn't you? I don't know. And so we see then that David confesses his sin, and we find that actually David was used in a mightier way after this than before. Look with me one more place there in the Psalms, Psalms 94, verse 17. Psalms 94 in verse 17. The Bible says, "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up."
Amen. Amen.
Did he hold himself up? Is God really sovereign? Is he on the throne this evening? I certainly think he is. And as our little churches, the ones that are band together, the ones that says, listen, if you want to leave, leave, but we're going to serve God. We're going to defend that truth down to the very end. Listen, we can't do that on our own, but he can keep us from slipping.
Amen.
He can stand behind us when nobody else will. Well, we read of David in the prison cell. And what? For the Lord Jesus Christ Himself came to him in the night. That's why he was qualified to be an apostle at a time. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. And the Lord said, "I am with thee, David, and thou wilt also go to Rome." He holds us up like we don't even understand. You ready to quit? You ready to throw in the towel? You ready to say, this here is just about done? Listen, my advice is to depend on Christ. My advice is to keep standing. Look with me in the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read one more place and we're going to dismiss. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. The Lord's supposed Sermon on the Mount. It's all grouped together, but it was one very long sermon. Now, I like to remind my church of that sometime. But it was. It was one full sermon. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord,
shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Very sobering verse, isn't it? Sad to say, I've seen people come and I've seen them go. I'm not judging them, but I come to a conclusion from this. That means I'm going to be, probably I'll be, if the Lord tarries His coming, I'm going to be more discouraged later on than I am right now. You see, because other people will come along. What did Paul said? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He got so wrapped up in the world, he left. Have we not seen that? Have we not lived that? Have we not experienced that? And so the Lord Jesus Christ says in His sermon, listen, don't be discouraged. Not everyone that says that means that they're mine. It doesn't mean that. Many will say to me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name have cast out devils? Now, I won't get too much on that, but there's a group that will say, oh, I cast the demon out last night. According to this, they didn't.
Right. Amen.
I believe we can implore God to do that, but I don't believe that was an apostolic gift and it does not exist anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
People don't like to hear that. It's not popular preaching, but it's Bible preaching.
Amen.
And so we see they defend themselves before God. We say, how blatant, how abject, how self-consumed can you be? Do we not do it? I'd really like to study tonight, Lord, but you know how hard I work today. And you know how worn out I even am right now. Bless Him if you can. Good night. See, a lot of times when we say, have we not said, Lord, Lord, we've not done it. You know, He also warns us of vain repetitions, doesn't He? And I find myself getting into that very easily. And you know why? They are vain. They're about me. They're vain because I say the same thing. They're vain because I'm not really imploring the help of God. You know, the best prayer times I've ever had, I'm not even saying anything. Just on my face before God, listening to Him for a change. That's where we need to be, is it not? So they defended themselves and said, did we not do this? Did we not do that? Notice, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. How strong that house today? My house, a week ago tonight, was 23 years old. And I don't mean the double wide. You know they don't last that long. Me and Donna had been married 23 years. How does that look? When I look back over that, and you do have to if you're the man you should be. How's it gone? Who have you been for your family? What's your example been? I believe, in ending off, we're no longer alarmed that the earth can cleave asunder. That no longer bothers us. No longer troubles us. I don't believe it bothers us any longer to walk up a slippery bank. Our attitude has become, well, I made it last time, I'll make it this time. You don't know that. You know what we need to have power from God is begin to confess sin.
Amen.
We get right with God and let everything else fall in the mighty sovereign hand of God. The only person you really can be concerned about is yourself.